Chapter 3. An Errand of Gratitude. Mrs. Callender held out her hand. Mr. Lismore took it in silence and pressed it warmly. "You have not finished with me yet," she continued with a smile. "Do you remember what I said of my errand when I first came in?"
"You said it was an errand of gratitude."
"Something more than the gratitude which only says thank you," she added. "Before I explain myself, I want to know what you have been doing. How was it that my inquiries failed to discover you after that terrible night?" The appearance of depression which Mrs. Callender had noticed at the public meeting showed itself again in Mr. Lismore's face. He sighed as he answered her. "My story has one quality," he said. "It is a short story. It is no wonder that you failed to discover me. In the first place, I was not captain of my ship at that time. I was only an officer. In the second place, I inherited some money. Then, less than a year from the night of the fire, I ceased to lead a sailor's life. You will now understand what barriers were in the way of your finding me. I started successfully in business as a shipowner with my little inheritance. At the time, I naturally congratulated myself on my own good fortune. However, we know little, Mrs. Callender, what the future holds for us." He stopped speaking. His handsome features hardened as if he were suffering but hiding his pain. Before it was possible for him to speak again, there was a knock at the door. Another visitor without an appointment had called. The clerk appeared again with another calling card and a message. "The gentleman begs that you see him, sir. He has something to tell you which is too important to be delayed." Hearing the message, Mrs. Callender rose immediately. "It is enough for today that we understand each other," she said. "Have you any engagement tomorrow, after the hours of business?"
"No, none."
She pointed to her card on the desk. "Will you come visit me tomorrow evening at that address? I am like the gentleman who has just called. I, too, have my reason for wishing to see you." He gladly accepted the invitation. Mrs. Callender stopped him as he opened the door for her. "Shall I hurt your feelings," she said, "if I ask a strange question before I go? I have a better motive, you must understand, than mere curiosity. Are you married?"
"No."
"Forgive me again," she continued. "At my age, you cannot possibly misunderstand me, yet..." She hesitated. Mr. Lismore tried to give her confidence. "Pray don't stand on ceremony, Mrs. Callender. Nothing that you can ask me need be preceded by an apology." This encouraged her. She continued. "You may be engaged to be married," she suggested. "Or you may be in love." He found it impossible to hide his surprise. He answered without hesitation. "There is no such bright promise in my life," he said. "I am not even in love." She left him with a little sigh. It sounded like a sigh of relief. Ernest Lismore was thoroughly puzzled. What could be the old lady's object in finding out whether he was engaged or in love? If the idea had occurred to him at the time, he might have inquired about her own home life. He might have asked if she had children. With a little effort, he might have discovered more about this. She had described her feelings toward him as being above a sense of gratitude. She was evidently rich enough to be above seeking money from him. Did she propose to brighten those sad promises to which he had hinted in speaking of his own life? When he went to her house the next evening, would she introduce him to a charming daughter? He smiled as the idea occurred to him. "An appropriate time to be thinking of marriage," he said to himself. "In another month, I may be a penniless man."